That's what Orgedal Yael for Parshas told us. This is really fundamental. And we learned last week about Eliezer Eved Avram overcoming his avdus and being able to overcome the curse of Canaan to become almost a member of Avram's family. We saw it in Yismach Yisrael also on Thursday. Let's learn about Yaakov and Esav. What was supposed to happen with Esav? What could have happened with Esav? Why does Yitzchak want to give brachos to Esav? Rivka sees right through it. But what was the plan for Esav? Why does Yitzchak like Esav? What does it mean when Yaakov comes in and eventually he declares himself to be Esav? That's really what he says when he comes in and gets the brachos. Even though Rashi reads it as he's saying, I am who I am, and Esav is your firstborn son. But he more or less says, I am Esav, your firstborn son. Did Yaakov replace Esav? How does this whole thing work? Okay, so Gedalia Shor gives us the background to what the role of Yaakov and Esav was. Yiduam hadvarim shava avos bo letakin cheto sha'adam. The first thing we need to know is a man who unfortunately failed to carry out his mission in the world has to be fixed. And the other ones, who are maybe the most outstanding human beings in history, who in their own ways are fixing Adam HaRishon. Kamosha mavur b'medrash, shalachein lo nivra Avram Avinu mitchilas habriya. Amazing medrash, right? Rubenstein spoke about this a couple Tuesday nights ago. The medrash asks, why wasn't Avram the first person ever created? So the medrash answers, k'dei shim yechta Adam HaRishon, yavo Avram v'itakin. That way, if Adam messes up, Avram can come and fix Adam HaRishon. Amazing idea. So, like, who was? I mean, Adam in general is a fascinating thing. That there was a person, Adam. But in a certain sense, Avram's going to be the first one to figure out life and get it right. So why don't we start with Avram? The Medrash gives a very cryptic answer. This way, in case Adam is a failed experiment, Avram will come and lead the way towards fixing Adam HaRishon. You can understand it more literally, you can understand it more figuratively, more specifically, more generally, right? Is it fixing the person Adam HaRishon? Is it realigning humanity with the Ribono Shel Olam? Is that what Adam represents, all of mankind? But either way, Adam is a failure, and Avram Avinu comes to be Metaken. V'chein mavur b'derach Hashem l'Ramchal, Ramchal explains, Ramchal, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Derech Hashem, Ba'arichos, he explains at length, Shekol Echad Me'a Avos Tiknu Hachet, that each one of the Avos is fixing a different aspect of Adam Rishon. There's a lot to talk about in terms of the details of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'chol Echad Tiken Hachet B'midah Shelo. Avram Shemidaso Aysa Midah Sachesed, Tiken Et Hachet Mitzad Midah Sachesed. V'Yitzchak Shaysa Midaso Gevura, Pachad Yitzchak, Tiken Hachet Alpi Midah Sadin. Right, so Avram, whose midah is chesed, somehow fixes the chesed shabo. And Yitzchak, whose midah is gvura or midas hadin, fixes the element of gvura shabo. Okay, what exactly that means? Where did Adam mess up with chesed? Where did Adam mess up with gvura? What was the tree of knowledge? What was the tree? What type of fruit was it? It's a machlokas in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin and in Brachos. What are the options?
Eggs, esrog.
Okay, esrog is the medrash. The Gemara doesn't have esrog. Gemara has three fruits, not esrog. Medrash has esrog. The Gemara says wheat,
figs,
and?
Grapes.
Grapes, right? Geffen, chita, and te'ina, yeah. Or chita, geffen, and te'ina. Okay? What's the indication that te'ina is the best option? What did I say?
The fig leaves.
Right, Rashi says they took fig leaves to cover their nakedness when they realized that they were naked. Why fig leaves? Well, Rashi says the thing that they sinned with, they were attacking with. Right? Fig may have been the tree. What's the gematria of te'ena? Which means fig.
456.
456. What's the gematria of Avram plus Yitzchak?
456.
Yeah. Math whiz. Let's just do it for a second. Let's make sure. How much is Avram?
Avram is
248. Right? Avram is. It's amazing. It fits so beautifully. Think about it. First, right? Adam Rishon is created in the image of God. B'tzelem Elokim. So we pointed out in the past from Moshe Wilson, B'Tselem Elokim is Gematria Avraham. Okay, then Adam HaRishon messed up with the Te'ina. Te'ina is 456. Te'ina is Gematria Avraham plus Yitzchak. Right, Avraham is 248. And Yitzchak is?
208.
So that's 456. Okay, so again, I don't know exactly what Rav Shur had in mind, and I don't even know what I'm saying. Right, but there's something about what went wrong and what the Avos, in a very specific way, were coming to fix. So Avram and Yitzchak come to fix the Chesed and the Gvura of Adam HaRishon. Uve emes Chesed Gvura heim habachinos shal sur meirav aasei tov. This is very important. And Chesed, Avraham, let's just think about the life of Avram for a second. He's proactive, he travels, he's involved in outreach, his tent is open on all sides. Avram is a man who's very much out there. Yitzchak, on the other hand, never leaves Eretz Yisrael. He's physically tied down at the Akedah. He's a man of very few words. Of very few words. Right? That's the Midah of Gvura. Withdrawn, internal, Midah Sadin, it retracts. As opposed to Chesed, which expands, Gvura, Ezu Giver HaKovesh Es Yitzchak, restrain. Who is the one who's strong, the one who restrains his Yetzihara. So Yitzchak is the world of restraint. Right? In other words, says Rav Shur, Sor Meira Va'aseh Tov. Sor Meira, hold yourself back from negative, from evil. Refrain from evil. Va'aseh Tov, and be actively involved in positive. Shegvura hu hamilchama im hara ukvishaso. Gvura is what? Fighting against negativity and suppressing it. Kedivriyatana izu gibur akovesh es Yitzchak. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, who is the one who is truly strong, the one who suppresses his Yetzirah? V'zehaya ikra avodas Yitzchak. So if Avram is the one who's out and about, the great lover of humanity, spreading the word, being Makari of the world, Yitzchak's midah is what? Is Gvura, is Bir Hara, is destroying negativity, v'nisiras hara me'atov, and separating the negativity from the positivity. V'Avraham hayamidas achesed, Hayovid mitoch ava. Avram is the great lover of humanity. Like I said, v'ikra avodaso hayu b'chinas asei tov. He goes out. He's a doer. Okay, so these are the worlds of Avraham and Yitzchak. Now, just like there's an Avraham and there's a Yitzchak, and I'm going to just present it before we even see it inside, there's supposed to be a Yaakov and an Esav. Yaakov is supposed to be a hemshich of Avraham. And Esav, who's so beloved by Yitzchak, is supposed to really be a hemshech of Yitzchak. Okay, so bearing that in mind, let's see where this goes. Avodazu shaltikon achet nimsra liyakov Esav. So like we just mentioned, this process of sor meira v'aseh tov, of trying to fix the worlds. How many worlds were created before this one? The Medrash says God tried out a lot of different worlds before he finally settled on this one. 974, very good. That's not an easy number to remember. 974. Okay. Tough kuf ayin dalid. Tough kuf ayin dalid. 974. That's referred to in Chazal. Tough is 400. So tough is 800. Kuf, another 100, 900. Ayin dalid, 74. 974 worlds before we got to this world. And now Hashem, whatever that means, Hashem was bona olamos u'machrivan, building worlds and destroying worlds. After 974 generations or worlds, Hashem finally settled on this one. And he says, okay, Adam, now's your chance. And Adam messed it up. And now what are we learning? We're learning that Avram and Yitzchak are somehow representing Sur Meirah v'Asei Tov. That Avram is the world of Aseh Tov, Yitzchak is the world of Sur Meira. Avram is proactive, he's out there. Yitzchak is conquering negativity and restraining that which is evil from spreading in the world. Yeah, what do you want to say, Ari?
So the Gemara of the Gio says that it's 974 generations before Moshe. So wouldn't it be different if it was to Avram and Yitzchak? Like the word that these articles use.
Right, so there's the 974 generations before Moshe. The Medrash talks about worlds. And Chazal also talk about generation. But it says 974 before, we have to adjust the number then. Right, you scatter them throughout the generations. So I'm not sure. We have the Medrash of, again, Bona Olamos Machriven. We have this concept of 974. Okay, exactly how that works is a good question. I'm not sure. But in a certain sense, right, when Hashem finally did settle on the world as we know it, we're trying to fix these two aspects of Sur Meirav Ase Tov. Right, we have to conquer negativity, and we have to increase positivity. Okay, what's the gematria of Sur Meirav Ase Tov? How much is Sur? Let's do it together. 266. No, 266. Okay, plus Sur Meira, plus 310. So what do we have so far? Who's writing? Take a pen. What do we got? Let's go.
Yep. I'm going to do math on the weekends.
What are we up to? 576. Okay. Now, the assay is 381. So 576 plus 381 is? 957. Okay, and how much is Tov?
17.
So what's 957 plus 17?
974.
974, there we go. So 974 are the number of worlds that existed before this world. So Hashem says 974, for whatever that means, Hashem scratched that idea. Then Hashem made the world. Okay, Adam, now you're going to do it. Adam messes up. The tikkun we're saying is who? Is Avram and Yitzchak. Their job, as explained to us by Rav Gedalia Shor, is what? Is to work on these two paths of correcting the world. Sur Meira, that's the avodah of Yitzchak. Va'asei Tov is the avodah of Avram. Right? A good question you might have is why is Sur Meira before Asei Tov? Yitzchak comes after Avram in terms of their birth. Okay, it's a good question. Although the Hasidic approach just to reading that pasuk, Sur Meira va'asei Tov, is that remove negativity through Asei Tov, meaning Asei Tov actually comes first. But Sur Meira plus Asei Tov is Gematria 974. That comes from the Skolia Rebbe, Zatzal. The Skolia Rebbe is tremendous tzaddik. So he says 974 is Gematria Sur Meira of Asei Tov. Yeah, Chaim.
Would you say that it's also correcting all the worlds that came before?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Meaning it's not exactly. Meaning, whatever those 974 generations or world, whatever that was, and that didn't work out. I guess when Hashem settled on Adam, right? I guess he felt that he had this ability to do it right, and he messes up. And we see that the tikkun of him includes not only what went wrong with Adam, but really fixing everything since the beginning of time. Again, whatever that 974 is about, somehow the avodah of Avraham and Yitzchak, which is continued now by Yaakov and Esav, is supposed to fix that failure. Okay, so Yaakov and Esav again are a continuation of Avram and Yitzchak. Ukamoshem avura b'shlaha kadosh v'biyur hadichsiv v'hinei tumim b'vitna. It says that Rivka is pregnant with twins. Shekamoshem etzinu she'etz hachayim ve'etz hadas hayu b'soch hagan v'shneiem yatzu mishoresh echad. Now maybe you never heard this before, but there's a school of thought that says that if they're both in the middle, well, how can they both be in the middle? Right? A middle usually, if one of them is the middle, then one of them is off a little bit to the right or to the left. What does it mean that the trees are both besoch? So you could say, they're generally speaking, they're in the center of the garden. But if you understand besoch more literally, that it's literally in the middle of the garden, it must be that the trees in some ways were interwoven. That the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas Tovara are somehow connected, that they came from a single root. So too, Yaakov and Esav, the twins, who are supposed to bring the final correction, so to speak, of the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas, right? They were also noldu beis to umim, elu mitipa tipa achas. The two of them came from a single drop. They came from the same place. Again, not talking so much about the biology of how twins are formed, but Yaakov and Esav were of one type. Ve'Yaakov hayu b'chinas Eitz HaChaim, ve'Esav hayu b'chinas Eitz HaDas Tovara. Okay? Yaakov is the Eitz HaChaim, and And Esav is Eitz Hadas Tovara. We'll understand in a little bit what that meant. Okay, he goes on to explain what was Adam before the sin. So Adam before the sin, we're gonna get through the piece. I'm gonna have to paraphrase some of the sections. Okay, Adam before the sin, right? The way that the Nefesh HaChaim explains it, Adam Rishon before the sin didn't have the blend of good and evil inside of him the way we have the blend of good and evil inside of us. What do I mean by the blend of good and evil? The simple question of, should I get up on time for davening in the morning? My Yetzer Tov is cheering me on, saying, yes, 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 go to davening. And my Yetzer Hara is saying, you're so tired, you need to sleep. No one will know anyways. You can just daven by yourself. What difference does it make? And maybe you'll daven even better than in the minyan. And we'll come up with all sorts of explanations. Okay? But that koach of Ra, that Yetzer Hara voice in our minds, in our hearts, was not inside of Adam Rishon before the sin. When he ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, that blending of the Tov V'Ra took place. Yeah.
How is that possible? Like,
how did he sin if he didn't have that? That's a good question. So I'm talking about that. Which shows you that it was a very conscious decision to eat from the tree, right? It wasn't that he gave into a Yetzer Hara. Even though they say, what do you mean? That's the whole point. He gave into the Nachash, right? But it was much more the way Nefesh HaChaim even explains it. The Nachash himself was out. The Nachash was his own character. He's an external force. Right? Our Nachash is inside of us. Our Nachash doesn't walk over to us and start talking the way the Nachash approached Chav and Adam and said, you want to eat from the tree.
I mean, at the end of the day, like...
But how he could choose to sin when he was Kulo, Yetzer, Tov on the inside is a very significant question that the Svarim talk about. Mechta Me'elau talks about it. The Svarim talk about, you know, different approaches how that could have happened. But it was somewhat of a conscious decision to choose to eat from the tree, knowing he's going to become more mubulbal, but hoping that in that, you know, confusion, then he'll use his bechira to choose good. It was almost like the game was too easy before the rock entered him. It was too easy to choose the right thing. Yeah.
Was Chava also created the same way where she didn't have the...
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. Again, she's talking to a nachash who's outside of her. So that's the voice of Yetzer Hara, but it's on the outside. Again, she is seduced by it. It seems like, did she not have the inner strength to choose better? So there's a lot. It's a whole sugya, which is not really for now. But the pashtus is that the nachash was outside of her, and our nachash, so to speak, our Yetzer Hara is inside of us. Yeah. Both. If I understand the question correctly, meaning, is the Yetzer Hara chasing us or are we chasing him? So a little bit of both, right? We say that on the Yom Noram, Achit Shachatanu Lefanecha, the Yetzer Hara. So all the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean, Achit Shachatanu Lefanecha, the Yetzer Hara? Every Avera is Yetzer Hara. Achit Shachatanu Lefanecha, Michael Umishta, with eating and drinking, that was with the Yetzer Hara. Achit Shachatanu Lefanecha, you know, with whatever else is on that list of al-chaits, right? It was all Yetzer Hara. What do you mean, al-chait shechatanu lefanecha b'Yetzer Hara? So some explain, of course, every aveira means succumbing to the you know, temptations of the Yetzer Hara, whether it's food and drink, whether it's money, whether it's sexuality, whatever it is, right? But there's also the Yetzer Hara where the Yetzer Hara confronts us versus al-chait shechatanu lefanecha b'Yetzer Hara when I chased after him. Sometimes we put ourselves intentionally in compromised situations. And then, I'm overwhelmed, right? Well, stupid, why'd you go to that party thinking nothing was going to happen, right? You didn't have to go there. You didn't have a taiva until you went there. You went there, and then it awakened taivas, and you did things against Hashem. So that's by creating Yetzirah. You proactively made more Yetzirah than you had, right? Which is something we can do. Okay, so after Adam Rishon sins, so the chait enters into Adam Rishon. Yaakov Avinu, in a certain sense, was like Adam Kodem HaChait. When the Gemara describes that Yaakov actually looked like Adam Rishon, Yaakov, in a certain sense, was what? Yaakov was the Eitz HaChaim. Yaakov was the tree of life. Esav, so to speak, is Adam after the sin. Esav is that world of what? Of Tovara, Mishtamshin Berabuvia, that the blurred clarity. Right? He does not able to see things as clearly, where Tov and Ra are mixed together. And therefore, if Yaakov is Kulo Tov, Esav is this strange mix of Tov Ra. Esav, so to speak, is that Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. Now, what does all of this mean? Turn the page and let's find out. Yaakov is called an Ish Tam. He's a wholesome person. He's a complete person. He's a simple person. Esav is very complicated because Esav has entered into the world of Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. He's a strange mix. Okay? And therefore, the avoda of Yaakov and Esav are going to be very different. And let's learn how Esav, unfortunately, went bad. And it's really important for us to realize, because what we're going to learn today is that everyone has their avoda in this world. Like we learned last week with Eliezer, he understood his avoda, he embraced it in the right way, and became an outstanding Torah personality. But if you don't understand what you're supposed to accomplish, you can end up like an Esav who ends up, you know, outside the fold. He was supposed to just be a continuation of his father's avoda. He could have been one of the avos. He really could have. I'm not saying that in an exaggerated or dramatic way. Esav Mamish could have been the fourth of the avos, just like there's four Yamos. There could have been four avos. But Esav, unfortunately, went the wrong way. Okay, so let's read on the second paragraph on page 82. Esav, turn the page. Esav afsha hayubo harbe ra, even though Esav had a lot of bad to overcome, ukidi isa bechazal shal kol beis avod zara hayim afarches laseis, as Chazal tells us, as Rashi tells us in this week's parsha, that Esav was kicking in his mother's womb, he was chasing after avod zara when he was still in the womb. Hayubo gamke nitzot shal tov. But Esav also has a good spark. Esav is galus Edom, is the fourth of the exiles. What animal is Esav compared to? Which animal is Esav compared to? No?
Pig.
The pig. Okay, what do we know about the pig in terms of its presentation of kosher signs? It's kosher on the outside, but it's not so kosher on the inside, right? It presents itself with hooves that make it look kosher. But on the inside, there's a lot of really bad stuff. Esav, as it exists in the world today, is America. It's Western culture. It's Christianity. It's Rome. Right? Which on the outside is very nice. America has been very good to the Jews. We have to recognize that. It's a Medina Shel Chesed. We have to recognize that. At the same time, the same way that when Esav meets up with Yaakov and he falls on his neck, Vayishakeyu, and he kisses him, Rashi reveals to us that what? He really wanted to bite him. He wants to harm him, but he's sort of forced to kiss him. There's a Sfasemes that says, what does it mean? If you can't bite someone who's an enemy, you don't kiss them. Unless, of course, that's another way to destroy them, by assimilating them. Right? So the kindness of America, the relative, you know, again, they're not calling for our destruction, but there's a lot of spiritual destruction that comes from being immersed in American values. And while our Christian brothers, cousins, right, in many ways are supportive of our existence, right, but certainly throughout history, Christians have killed quite a few Jews in the name of their religion. No question about that. So this idea that that Esav on the outside is very pleasant, like the pig who raises its hooves, and again, that's a kosher sign. I'm not just mocking it. There's a real kindness that America has offered the Jewish people, and Western society and liberal values have made space for us to do our own thing as religious Jews. Right? But there's also something very rotten on the inside, which has really caused a deterioration of our internal compass. Because there's so many things that we take for granted in, you know, free society that are just so off, so far from Torah values, that are just norms, you know, in a democracy in our world today. Okay? So on the one hand, Esav, look what he says, on the one hand, Esav has a lot of negativity, but he also has a nitzot tov. There's a good spark to Esav. Where it's underlined. V'hatafkid shal Esav ha'il etakein cheto shal Adam Rishon. So Esav has potential. Esav could also do his part in fixing Adam Rishon. Litaki nataroves shel harav ha'atov shenas al yidei achilas adam rishon me'etz hadas. Esav has to learn how to sift through and to drive out the negative. Again, Esav is a continuation of the avodah of Yitzchak. Avram is the one who's focused on all the good. That's more like the Eitz HaChaim. Eitz HaDas Tova Ra starts by driving away the Ra. V'lachein hayemetzias shal Esav gam kein tal roves shal ra v'tov. Esav himself was his very essence was a combination of bad and good. V'avoda shalo hayelachnias harashabo ulevatlo legamri la'tov shalo. Esav needs to what? Esav needs to suppress his negativity and try to highlight and to fan, so to speak, the spark of positivity inside of him. And it's clear to us that Esav had a holy spark. He's the son of Yitzchak. He's a grandson of Avram. Of course he's got potential. He has sparks of holiness inside him. But he couldn't gain proper control of the balance inside of himself. And he wasn't able to suppress the negativity. Upiresh Arizal, take a look at this. The Arizal writes that when the pasuk says Kitzayid Bepiv, what does it say about Esav? Kitzayid Bepiv. What does it mean, Kitzayid Bepiv? He was a hunter, trapped with his mouth. He put his trappings into the mouth of Yitzhak. He gave Yitzhak good food. Rashi has a couple of different explanations. Tzayid Bepiv says the Arizal, She'esav hayelo nitzas shal kedusha besoch piv. Esav, so to speak, had what? Had holiness on his lips. Shekola kedusha Esav haye besoch piv. That all of Esav's holiness was mamish, right? Again, he knows how to talk the talk. Esav says to his father a lot of very frum things, if you remember the Midrashim. Esav would ask Yitzhak all sorts of shailas and halacha. Do I have to take miser from salt or from straw? He was very frum. He knew how to talk the talk. The Ritzadikim was said, Esav looked like a Rebbe on the outside. Right? Again, if you go back to the mashal of the pig on the outside holds up its hooves as it's lying on its back in the mud, raising up its kosher sign, saying, look how kosher I am. But it's all lip service. It's all me'asafa v'lachut. It's all on the surface. Shekola kedusha shel Esav haisa besoch piv. Shachedusha lo nasa chelek me'atzmiuso. He wasn't able to make it enter him. And look how the Arizal says, v'lo nivala l'soch gufo. If it's on your lips, all you have to do is what? You have to close your mouth and swallow it down to bring it into your kishkas. But he wouldn't do that. El hayarak me'asafa v'lachut. The whole thing was superficial. It was all on the surface. He goes on and he quotes, he says, it could have been, had Esav fulfilled his tafkud, there would have been a Yaakov, there would have been an Esav, and they each would have had six shvatim. They each would have had six shvatim. There would have been four avos, four imaos, four avos. Who knows four? I know four. Four are the fathers. That's what it would have been. But it didn't turn out that way. I ended up with three avos and four imaos.
What would have been three?
What?
What would have been three?
What would have been three? I don't know. Three is the, I don't know, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Three are the, I don't know, Kohen Levi Yisrael, I don't know. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. These are all the three. The Medrash has a whole list of threes that have to do with Torah. I have to find another three. You say, but two is Torah, two is the Luchos. I don't know. I have to figure it out. Okay, but let me just show you how close Esav was to Mamish being able to pull it off. It says, Rav Gedalia Shor in the left-hand column, Ve'eile toldos Yitzchak. These are the toldos of Yitzchak. A cryptic Rashi at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Yaakov ve'esav ha'amurim b'parsha Shkoyach Rashi. Eila told us Yitzchak. Rashi says, who are the toldos of Yitzchak? Yaakov and Esav, who are mentioned in this week's parsha. Shkoyach. We could have read the parsha also. We know who the toldos. What's going on here? V'kvar amdu b'zem b'farshim. The farshim we're trying to figure out. Ki mi eino yodeya. Who doesn't know that these are the toldos of Yitzchak? Uma b'rashi l'ashmienu b'zeh. What's Rashi talking about? What's Rashi even saying? He's not saying anything. Rashi comes along and says, Eila told us Yitzhak, in case you want a sneak preview, it's a, this parsha, who are the told us? It's about Yaakov and Esav. Shkoyach. It's Rashi adding. Elisha Rashi balizel legalos lanu davar gadol. Rashi's actually revealing a big secret. Rashi's saying, this is the parsha where Esav could have been one of the children of Yaakov, of Yitzhak. Esav could have been one of the avos. Yaakov and Esav could have worked side by side the same way that Avram and Yitzchak represented two models of service of Hashem. Elisha Rashi is revealing us a secret. The Gemara in Nedarim says, What does it say? Da'amad d'chsiv ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazara. That b'yitzchak yikar l'chazara, says the Gemara in the Darim, b'yitzchak v'lo kol yitzchak. B'yitzchak, from amongst yitzchak will be the true seed. B'yitzchak and not kol yitzchak, not all of yitzchak. Some of yitzchak, not all of yitzchak. Meaning, the Gemara is saying that in the end, it wasn't all of yitzchak. It could have been. But in the end, Peirush Shirak Yaakov Nikra Zera Yitzchak Velo Esav. In the end, Yaakov would be the true heir to the throne, and Esav would be pushed out. Not that Esav didn't have the potential. V'davar zeh yesh lefarsho b'tur gezeira shechein muchrach lios. You could understand it as something that had to be. It had to be this way. Shirak Yaakov hu Zera Yitzchak v'Esav lo hayelo sheiches klal zeh. You could learn it that what? God predicted, ki bi Yitzchak. Bi Yitzchak means from amongst Yitzchak. Some of Yitzchak is going to emerge, and the rest of it is not. It was never meant to be that there would be, two avos who come from Yitzchak. Ach zeh eino, dechol davar shehu rak drasha, ve'eino mefurash bakra, eino b'chinas gezera. But says Rav Gedalia Shor, that's not true. The fact that Chazal, when they wrote the Gemara in the Darim Daf Lamed Aleph, understood bi Yitzchak to mean what? Bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. We could have had a different drasha. That's after the fact we darshan the pasuk that way. Bi Yitzchak means some of Yitzchak. It didn't have to be that way. Esav had free will. Esav could have chosen differently. How would we have learned bi Yitzchak had Esav chosen differently? You know what we would have said? We would have said bi Yitzchak, beiz Yitzchak. But he said, there are two tracks that come from Yitzchak. There's the track of Yaakov and the track of Esav. Right? It's only after the fact, when Esav chooses to what? To not live up to his potential, then all of a sudden we have to rewrite the story and say, be Yitzchak, some of Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak. And that's what Rashi's telling us at the beginning of this week's parsha. Eila told us Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav, Hamurim, the parsha. They both could have been on the path. It could have been both of them. Esav could have been part of Klal Yisrael. But he didn't understand his avota. That's why Chazal referred to Esav as Yisrael Mumar. Yishmael was never considered to be one of the avos. Esav is called by Chazal a Yisrael Mumar. You know what that means? It means a renegade Jew, an off the derech Jew. He could have been one of our people. He could have been one of our avos. But Esav didn't understand his role. And because of that, he strayed. Which explains, by the way, fascinating historical insight from the Chidah. The Chidah, the great Sfaradi Chacham from 300 years ago, the Chidah explains, why is it that we see converts from Christianity and not converts from Islam? Think about that. Almost all of the great converts, I'm talking about the most famous ones of Chazal, right? Whether it was Rabbi Meir, whether it was Rabbi Akiva, whether it was the Bnei Banav Shel Haman, Shalom Du Torah B'Bnei Brak, that's all Esav. We don't find, and in the world today, most people who convert to Judaism are not coming from Yishmael. It's very rare you have a Muslim who becomes a Jew. Right? It's usually a person of Christian faith, whether they're very from Christian or not so from Christian. Sometimes very from Christians who like actually learn Christian theology and then say, this doesn't make sense, and they come back to the original children of God, they joined the Jewish people. But why is that? The Chidah wondered about that. Why is it that Christians become Jews much more readily than Muslims become Jews? And the answer is because Esav, as opposed to Yishmael, Esav was really part of the family. Be Yitzchak, Beis Yitzchak, he could have been one of the Avos. So in a certain sense, it's a Christian who's coming back to an understanding of what could have been. That I could have been part of this. Right? Christianity is Edom. That's Esav is called Edom. That's the world of Edom. Okay? Amazing, again, amazing idea. Really an amazing idea. So Esav's avoda was supposed to be like Yitzchak. Yeah?
What do we say about Esav? Friends, when he was inside of Rivka already.
Right, he's kicking.
Yeah, he's already bad.
Yeah, because he has a mix. Again, he's the Eitz Hadas Tov Vera. He's a blend. He was always a blend.
But it doesn't seem like he has his own free will.
Okay, I mean, there is a... Right, that, you know...
I mean, some people...
You're sort of asking the question on free will in general, right?
I've also heard that some people said that he was kicking Kid out so that he could go, like, tear him down.
He was kicking the... Okay, interesting. Right, he would kick the Avodah Zarah because his Avodah was to swore Meirah to destroy Batei Avodah Zarah. Okay, interesting. I guess you don't have to say he was kicking to worship there. That's very interesting. I never saw anyone who wrote that, but it makes sense. I believe you that's true. Okay, so let's turn the page. So now, why is Yitzchak so interested in giving the brachos to Esav? What does he see in Esav? You know what he sees in Esav? He sees himself. Yitzchak says, my avodah is sor meira. My avodah is midas adin. And I have a son who's also midas adin, and he just needs to learn how to redirect it. How does Esav use his gvura? What's the tragedy of Esav? He understands gvura as what? Again, chesed is supposed to be outward. Gvura is supposed to be restraint. And that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is quiet. He stays in Eretz Yisrael. He's tied down at the Akedah. He's very restrained. Esav takes gvura and totally misinterprets the word. Strength? I'm going to go out. I'm going to be a conqueror. I'm going to be a hunter. And Esav goes out. And he takes advantage of people. Right? Chazal say Esav is involved. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a rapist. Chazal have Esav going out and taking advantage of people. He's out there with his gvura, with his physical strength. That's not gvura. Gvura is internal strength. Gvura is strength of character. Gvura is not conquering other people. But Yitzchak very badly wants to give the brachos to Esav. You know why? Because with a little bit of bracha, Yitzchak feels that what? It'll help Esav become who he could be, which is what? Very much like his own father. To have the midah of gvura and to use it in a holy way. He needs that bracha to help him to have success, to have the siyata d'shmaya that he needs. Because he already senses, Yitzchak's not totally blind, although he's physically blind, he's not totally blind to what Esav has become, but he sees within Esav that potential gvura to be like him, and to be one of the avos. Says Rav Gedalia Shor, on page Mem Beis, the left paragraph, Masha ratza Yitzchak levarich es Esav. Why did Yitzchak want to give the brachos to Esav? He says, I see that spark of holiness within Esav. He says, I relate to Esav. I know this. I can relate to that personality. I was that personality. I am that personality. And more than that, from a strict, you know, midas adin standpoint, Esav is the oldest son, so he deserves the brachos. And he understood, like the Gemara says in Brachos, the secrets of God, why is it your business? It's not for us to make calculations. The halacha is that the Bechor gets the Brachos. Rivka's playing tricks with Yaakov. It's too tricky. Let's be straight about this. Esav's the firstborn. Midas Hadin, letter of the law, he gets the Brachos. Don't tell me you made some arrangement, you traded the Brachos for soup. Who says you can trade the Brachos for anything? And now you're sneaking around, coming up with a plan. So Yitzchak says, no tricks, no plans. Esav's the Bechor, he gets the brachos, and you'll see the brachos actually help him to meet his potential. Halo shayach ha-brachos li-Yitzchak al-pi din. V'yikov ha-din ha-sahar, and the din should hold. V'lachein ratza li-tin lo ha-brachos. U'v'yaser bir al-pi ha-dov mavur, b'Ramban. The Ramban says in Parashas Ekev, shekol inyin shel bracha shemetzinu b'Torah, hu inyin shel siyua. What is a bracha? A bracha is not some external blessing. You should become something you're not. A bracha helps you to what? To have the help to develop that which you are. When you get a bracha from someone, it's a blessing that you should be you. A blessing you should be able to be the best version of you could be. Someone can't give you a bracha for something that has no shaychus to your neshama. A bracha, what does the word bracha mean? Look at the word bracha. Beis, reish, chaf. Yeah. Yeah, sure. He's my shtender. What are the letters? Beis, Reish, and Chaf. What do you see? What's the common denominator in that? Right? Well, Beis, right, in the ones column is a multiplicity of one. Right? Beis is two. Chaf, 20, is multiples of 10. Reish, 200, is multiples of 100. The idea of bracha is what is ribu, is multiples of. An expansion of. Right? That which is should have greater success. So that's what a bracha is. Use the shandar. Enjoy. Yeah? A bracha is not a new creation of something. A bracha just means an expansion of that which is. To make more of that which is. So Yitzchak thinks, if I can give my son Esav the bracha, it'll help him to be a better version of who he could be. Rivka's not convinced he's going to absorb it in the right way. He's just going to be a bigger and stronger bad guy. Right? If you pour water on, you know, flowers, so you produce better, healthier flowers. If you pour water on weeds, so you're just going to grow the weeds. So Rivka says, no, 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 this is not going to work. I'm telling you it's not going to work. But we at least understand where Yitzchak was coming from. Again, seven lines from the end on page Membeis, bottom left-hand corner, where it's underlined. Yitzchak just wanted to help Esav to do his avoda. Give him a bracha. V'chashav Yitzchak ki Yaakov ein tzarech siyua. And more than that, does Yaakov need bracha? Yaakov is the Eitz HaChaim. Yaakov's not living the conflicted life of Esav. Yaakov's kulo tov. Yaakov's Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. Yaakov looks like Adam according to the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the original Adam. Esav is Adam after the sin, the conflicted Adam. He's the one who needs the bracha. He's the one who needs the chizik. Yaakov's an ish tam yoshev oalim. He sits and learns Torah all day. He's not struggling. The ein lo shaychas amochama imarach klal, says Rav Shor. He's not battling negativity. He's not fighting sur meira. Umameila ein shum tzorech lo lebrachav lo lesiyu. He doesn't need the bracha and the help that it offers. V'rak esav shavodasa, turn the page. He bechinas sur meira. But esav who what? Who is fighting against negativity. Avoda shachelek shala eitz hadas tovara. His portion is in the tree of what? Of good and evil, all interwoven. He needs the bracha. Lo shayach habrachos. To him, the bracha is relevant. Kitzarech l'siyua. He needs all the help he can get. And therefore, he wants the brachos. And he needs the brachos. And he cries. Esav cries when he doesn't get those brachos because he wants his father's guidance. He sees in his father himself. But his father's a good version of himself. And he's a conflicted version of himself. Where on the surface, he's great. Esav talks the talk. Kibud ava'im. He's outstanding in Kibbut Ava'im. He has tremendous respect for his father. He does everything for his father. He sees himself in his father. But he just can't get it together. It's Ayid B'Piv. It's stuck on the surface, lip service. He's not able to swallow it down, so to speak, and to internalize it, and to strike that balance, and to really understand his avota. And that's the tragedy. That's the tragedy of Esav. Yeah. No, so for we see that he does a lot of things for his father. He talks. There is one scene we have to figure it out, right? Where Yaakov is disguised as Esav to get the bracha, and he says, "Please." Chazal say that Yitzchak was surprised by that. Why is my son saying please? He doesn't usually talk to me in such a gentle way. Esav was a rough person, right? He was the son who got it done for his father. You know, he didn't necessarily know how to speak as nicely. He wasn't as refined in his speech as he could have been, maybe. But in terms of taking care of his dad, he took care of his dad. He went out, he would hunt, he'd bring him the best food every day. He took care of his parents. He felt that Achrayas take care of his parents. Again, why that particular mitzvah is an expression of this kind of worldview of Esav is a good question. But Esav, there's a lot there. There's a lot of potential there. Okay? Let's keep reading. B'medrash, says the Medrash, Al hadichsi va'ata sana keilecha telyecha v'kashtecha v'tzei hasadeh. Right, take all of your tools, take your bow and arrow, go out to the field, go hunting. So the Medrash says these expressions refer to the, very interesting, four exiles of Jewish history. Yeah, chelyecha refers to Bavel. Telyecha refers to Madai. Keshes, the bow, get to it soon, Amir Tzashem, is Chanukah, is Yavan. Is Galus Yavan, is the Greeks. V'tzei ha-sadeh, and go out to the field, zo Edom. This is the fourth and final exile, which we're in today, since the destruction of the Second Temple. Galus Edom, go out to the field. V'eza sheiches yesh l'drasha zu kan b'divar Yitzchak l'Esav. So why? Again, the pasuk pshat on the pasuk is Yitzchak tells Esav, go take your tools, go hunting, and bring me something to eat. And Yechazal see in these expressions, each of the tools of Esav, so to speak, represents another exile in Jewish history. What's going on here? What does it do with the Pashup Shad and the Pasuk? Ach Yitzchak Amar LeEsav, where it's underlined. Yitzchak was saying to Esav, Va'ata. How does he begin the Pasuk? Va'ata. And now, take your tools and go hunting. But we know the word Va'ata means do tshuva. Va'ata is a code word for tshuva. Chazal say, Ein Ata El Lashon Tshuva. So what Esav was being told by his father Yitzchak, Va'ata, Ata means now, the possibility of tshuva, the possibility of change. He's saying to his son, you got to understand, Esav, you're a very fierce person, you're a very powerful person. You've got a lot of energy inside of you. If you do tshuva, which means not to destroy it, but just to learn how to channel it in the right way, to point it in the right direction, you're going to create amazing things. If not, you're going to be the source of all the chorban of the world. You could put an end to all of Galus. You could be part of our team. Or you could be the reason that the world looks like it does today in 2018. And unfortunately, Esav did not make that right choice. And here we are today. So Yitzchak was hinting to his son, you have tremendous power, you have tremendous strength, you're very successful, you're a very capable person, Esav. Va'ata, do tshuva now. Understand how you could be like me and one of the avos. Because if you don't, a lot of evil is going to come from you. Okay? He got his bracha stolen, so we don't put the blame on Yaakov. Well, now we get to Rivka, right? What did Rivka see? Rivka said this, again, is a failed experiment, unfortunately. And she said, as much as Esav maybe could have, but he wasn't making those choices. Now, again, you'll say that's not fair. She robbed him of his free will, in a certain sense. Taking away that bracha, that was the end of the story. So let's see, what was Rivka's calculation? Okay, we have three paragraphs left. So says Rivka in the bottom right-hand corner. Rivka says, I know a faker when I see one. Where did Rivka come from? She says, hold on a second. I know what I'm talking about here. I'm from the house of Lavan and Besuel. I know people who know how to talk the talk, but don't know how to walk the walk. Rivka shagadla bebeis Lavan ha'arami. Lavan ha'arami, the same letters as Ramai, which means a liar, a trickster, a cheat. Right? Lavan the faker. Lavan, what an interesting name, Lavan. You know what Lavan means? White. I'm so innocent. So innocent. Lavan. Stop Lavan. Say, Lavan, did you ever make a mistake in your life? No, I'm Lavan. But Lavan's white is actually very much connected to Esav's red. One of the Talmidim of the Ramchal was a tzaddik named Rav Moshe David Vali, the Ramdu. Rav Moshe David Vali. Vavav. Rav Moshe David Vali writes in Parshas Vayetze, in the Kisvei Ramdu, I have the Sefer at home, he says, the white of Lavan is redder than the red of Esav. It looks white on the surface, but it's such a lie. And you see it, Lavan, you don't have to work so hard to see how bad Lavan is. It's not the way for the younger daughter to get married before the older daughter. And he's changing Yaakov's wages, and he keeps renegotiating. And then when Yaakov finally tries to save himself from this madman, and he sneaks away at night to save his family from the poisonous home of Lavan. Lavan chases after him. What did I ever do wrong? You're sneaking away. You're a trickster, Yaakov. You're always tricking. Always tricking. You stole your brother's bracha. You're the trickster. Yaakov, the Ish Tam, is not the trickster. Lavan ha'arami, Lashon Rama, is the trickster. He wears the white on the outside the same way that Esav tied the piv. He also knows how to talk the talk. So Rivka takes one look at this scene. She says, hold on a second. I grew up in Beis Lavan. I grew up in Beis Besuel. Hivina ma'a pnimius shal Esav. She says, I'm not falling for Esav on the surface. I know he's rotten to the core. He's mamish, a pig on the inside, right? He's chazer. Like Edom is compared to the pig. It's all lip service. He's phony. He's nothing like his father. He's not actually going to be like Yitzchak. The fact that he holds up his hooves, like we said, the example of the pig, that in fact is a sign of tumah by a pig. Right? Like the pig who raises up what? Its hooves. When she says Esav doesn't really have the ability to get this right, it would be a terrible waste to give him the bracha. In fact, the bracha is only going to be like watering weeds, the mashal I gave you before. It's just going to make him worse. Yaakov, you need to steal the bracha. But understand what that means when he steals the bracha. And this, I remember the first time I saw this in the Ur Gedaliah, it was such a breakthrough for me in this whole sugya. You know what it means to take the brachos? Well, again, we said bracha just enhances what you are. And these are Yitzchak's brachos. So Yaakov doesn't really have a shaychus to these brachos. There's a reason Esav's the Bechor. Yaakov's not supposed to really get the brachos. Yaakov is Adam Kod Machet. Yaakov is Adam, perfected Adam. He doesn't need the brachos. You know what happens when he gets the brachos? You know what else he signs up to be?
Firstborn.
He signs up to be Adam Achar Achet. That's right. He signs up to be the firstborn. He signs up to play both the role of who? Of Yaakov and Esav. And then he takes the brachos. Rivka says, you need to wear the clothing of Esav. And you need to be able to walk into that room and say, and this is such a gevalt, it's so clear once you learn the sugya this way. You need to walk into that room and say to your father, what? I am Esav, your firstborn. He wasn't lying at all. What did Yaakov mean when he walks in through? Let's see it inside. Ki abrachos sheichem achshav lo al derech mashamru chazal zacha notel chelko vechelek chaveiro began Eden. Chazal say it's possible for a person to what? If someone doesn't want to be himself, yeah, if God forbid you have a friend, a fellow Jew, who could be such a good Jew and he just keeps choosing otherwise, it's an opportunity for you to what? To take his chelek in Torah. To say, Hashem, my friend is not doing what he's supposed to do, and whatever spiritual energy you gave him, I'm prepared to take that. It obviously comes with certain responsibilities and challenges, right? But Chazal used such an expression, if a person is zacha, if a person is refined, right, like Shem and Zay is Zach, not just Zoche, but a person is a refined person, if you're sensitive, then noto chelko v'chelek chaveiro b'gan Eden. You could steal someone's portion in Gan Eden. Rav Shur writes in a footnote in Parshas Korach in the Rosh Hashanah, how did Rabbi Akiva Eger become such a super duper genius? Because Rabbi Akiva Eger was living in a time when a lot of people weren't interested in actualizing their Jewish potential. So Shur says Rabbi Akiva Eger came along and he took everyone's potential. So he became off the charts Torah genius. Yeah.
So if I understood what Rabbi said, that means that if I see my friend and he is just like sitting around being a bum, I can take his spiritual energy.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't get along at all.
Yeah, God forbid. So now again, hopefully you're a good guy, and when he decides to eventually do tshuva, you give him his chelek back. But it's more a sense of achrayus. Again, if I understand my chelek in Torah as my ability to uplift the world, to fix the world, to retaken something in the world, so I could say, this person, has a tremendous koach to do X, he's not doing it, Hashem, I know someone needs to do this, so I'm going to try to fill in for this guy. I know who this guy is. I know his strengths. Yitzchak is hanging on. Yitzchak says, come on, Esav, you can do this. I need you to be the gvura of the world. Yaakov is not comfortable with this at all. He doesn't want to do this. I'm Avram Dick. I'm not Esav. I'm not. My Mahalach's not Yitzchak. It's not comfortable for me. He has to be forced into that room by his mother Rivka, who says, "I've seen what happens when Esavs go unrestrained in the world. You got to take over here. You can't sit back. I grew up in a house of tricksters. I know what it looks like when I see one." So look what happens here. Imkin achshav shehifsid Esav chelko. So Esav, by rejecting his chelek be'emes, v'lo zacha likach as brachos, the brachos aren't shayach him anymore. O zacha Yaakov bechelko. Yaakov took over for Esav. Again, it's a deep idea. We don't really understand how it works. But Yaakov takes over for Esav. U'memela habrachos sheichem liYaakov. And the brachos come along with that. Once you take achrayas to be Esav, now you're entering into the world of Tov Ra, that confusing world, and then you need the bracha to guide you. Yaakov, you need to come outside of your tent. You're leaving your Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Olim, and now you're going out to the world. You're becoming Yaakov and Esav combined. You're taking the negativity of the world and you're learning to redirect it. That's why I've told you in the past a beautiful remez. Where does Yaakov sort of actualize this? When does this actually happen? We have 2 minutes left. But where does this actually happen? When he fights against Saro Shel Esav, when he fights Esav's Malach, and he defeats him, and Yaakov takes on a new name for himself, he's no longer Yaakov, he's now Yisrael, right? It's a whole new thing. He defeats the Satan. He defeats negativity in its greatest embodiment in that moment. When Yaakov fights in Parshas Vayishlach, Saro Shel Esav, and he defeats it, it's the greatest what? It's the greatest victory. It's the greatest defeat of Sor Meira. He defeats negativity to such a degree that the Malach himself of negativity, the Satan himself, gives him a bracha. What's his new name? Yisrael. So what he's doing is he's taking the kochos of negativity and he's harnessing them at that moment. So Rav Gedaliah Shortz, in the back of one of the volumes of the Rav Gedaliah, he has a hesped, and in that hesped he brings a remez. He says, if Yaakov conquers the Satan, he becomes Yisrael. You have to understand, conquering the Satan is not destroying the Satan and leaving him dead on the side of the road. Conquering the Satan means what? Taking that power and absorbing it into yourself. You're taking over the role of Esav. Again, you could also become Yaakov. Be careful. You could become a hunter and a murderer and a thief. Or you could become a person who has the midah of gvura in the right way. So Gedalia Shur says, what's Yaakov plus Satan? What's the gematria of Yaakov plus Satan? He didn't kill the Satan. He absorbed the Satan. Yetzirah is called the Satan. It's the same Malach. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Satan, Yetzirah, Malach, Mavis, it's all the same. Satan. What's the gematria of Satan? 359. What's the gematria of Yaakov? 182. What's Yaakov plus Satan? 541, which is? Yisrael. 541 is Yisrael. So he becomes Yisrael. When Yaakov absorbs the Satan into his life, Yaakov plus Satan is beautifully gematria Yisrael. He didn't kill him and leave him dead on the side of the road. He got a bracha from the Satan. The same way he's about to get Esav's bracha right now. Okay? Satan is 359, Yaakov is 182, Yisrael is 541. Combination of 541. Yeah.
Don't we have this idea in Judaism that if you sin, I guess that's an opportunity that no matter how far down you go, you can always do tshuva.
Yeah.
But this kind of
which is why, again, I told you there are converts from Esav. That is the tshuva, called Yisrael Jew, which means Esav can find his way back.
Which kind of seems, though...
But you're saying it seems like he lost his free will at this point.
He lost his free will, and it's so a competitive... We have to, right. It's almost like a competitive tshuva, like who can
right.
steal the tshuva...
It's a hard idea.
Right,
it's a hard idea. Who would want to take away someone's portion? But again, you're filling in, you're taking the responsibility. The same way, again, if you have any society or any social structure where there are different people who have jobs and one person doesn't do their job, so someone else has to step up and do that job. Hopefully, you know, the head of the company will say, I see that you're filling in for so-and-so who's slacking off and I'm going to double your salary because of that because you're doing two jobs.
Because Esav could humble himself and realize...
Yeah, Esav could come back around. That's correct. Hopefully he will. And he sometimes does, yeah.
Isn't there a concept though of, you know, not being allowed to judge someone Al-Shim Sobo regardless of...
Yeah, so we have... Right, good question. We have different... Sometimes we, you know, Ben Sora Umora is put to death, right? And Yishmael is allowed to live by Sherusham. So, you know, that's a good question when we say. But again, Rivka somehow saw that Esav was rotten to the core, literally on the inside, even though his outside had some potential, which Yitzchak was holding on to. And Yitzchak saw, again, the mirror image of himself in Esav, so he wanted it to be. Rivka said, it's not going to be, and we got to get out. We got to cut our losses. And that's what she did. And she forced Yaakov. Yaakov didn't want it. He said, where Esav's begadim? He was so uncomfortable, but he was becoming Esav. He was becoming Yaakov and Esav combined. Yeah, Chaim. It's a good question. Yaakov's failure, we see with the scene where, you know, Dina, right, is locked in the box. So Yaakov is punished for that. And some say that Yaakov could have... There's a famous piece in the Torah Tamima, which some people are very angry about this piece. But the Torah Tamima says, instead of locking Dina in the box when he goes to meet up with Esav, he could have made a shidduch between Dina, Midas Adin, and Esav. And she would have been Makariv him and got him back on the path. And in a certain sense, it's Yaakov's fault, again, being the Avram Avinu of his time, right? He should have done more to be Makariv Esav. And the Torah Tamima says that Yaakov is actually faulted for that. By locking Dina in the box and not presenting her before Esav, right? He was scared Esav's going to, you know, steal my daughter. But Dina could have been the one to be mitaking the Midas HaDin within Esav and could have brought him back. He could have been one of the Avos. And the way the Torah Tamima says it is sort of like as if Yaakov liked his new position and didn't want to give it back. And that's why some people didn't like that passage in the Torah Tamima. I thought it was he went a little too far by saying that, you know, Yaakov intentionally didn't want Esav to do tshuva. Of course we want Esav to do tshuva. But whether or not he can, and you know, his ability to do so is a complicated thing. Okay, last paragraph, just go to the back page, the final paragraph for today. By the arrow. V'zeh sha'amar Yaakov li'Yitzchak, and again, with this whole beautiful presentation. It's a whole, if you haven't heard this Mahalach, you don't understand anything about Parshas Toldos. I'm not trying to sound harsh, but like, you can't really understand what's going on in this story unless you understand how this is all, again, Adam HaRishon trying to get his tikkun through Avram and Yitzchak and continued through Yaakov and Esav. Explains so many things. And that's what it means when Yaakov goes to Esav and he says, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. He means it. So Chazal say, Chazal Mafarshim Shalo Amar Kan Sheker. Well, he wasn't really lying. If to divide up his words, he was really saying, Anochi, I am who I am. And Esav, someone else, is your firstborn. He was just speaking in a tricky way. So says Rav Gedalia Sher, no, he was saying, I'm taking over. Esav's not doing his job. Anochi Yaakov Shemevi Lecha Ve'esav Hu Becharecha. That's how Chazal explained it. However, Yesh Lahavin Achshav Gam Al Pi Pshuto Shel Mikra. You can learn it much more simply. Yaakov is saying in this moment, I have to become Esav as well. Sha'achshav Sheyesh LeYaakov Gam Chelak HaAvoda Shel Esav. Now that I've taken the responsibility for Esav's Avoda in the world, Harehu Be'emes Esav. Now I am Esav. And I can say, I am Esav. I am the spiritual Esav. Not the physical person Esav, but I'm everything you wanted in Esav, I'm going to become that. And we see, you can pay attention to Yaakov's changed personality, how Yaakov now has to be a little bit Yaakov and a little bit Esav. V'shayach lo ha-brachos shal Esav, and therefore I am worthy of the brachos, the Esav within me. Im kein harei b'chelek ha-avoda hu Esav ha-bachor shal Yitzchak v'lo amar sheker klal. And he actually told the truth. Because he had become spiritually the embodiment of Esav. Okay, the last word for the day goes to Shmuel Tzvi.
A lot of pressure. It's interesting that we're talking about how Yitzchak has like this mid of Gvura, which is like something that's internal, and Avram Chesed is more of like an external thing, an outward thing. But Yitzchak says, Kol Kol Yaakov, Yedayim Mide Esav, right?
That's so, like, correct. That's exactly the point.
So
he says you're gonna still be Yaakov on the inside, but you also have to take on the hands of Esav.
Right, but my question is, your actions. It seems like he's identifying the kol, which is something that's inner, which represents like Yitzchak almost as Yaakov, and the Yadayim as like he's like the doing, the external as Esav. Meaning like it should be the opposite almost, like. Like Yedayim, Yedei Yaakov, Akoko, Esav, almost.
Okay.
Esav, what you're saying.
Yeah. But he becomes the combination. Right? He is Esav on the outside. That's why he's wearing the begadim of Esav. See Yismach Yisrael this week. He'll tell us more about the whole, why he had to get the brachos dressed up as an Esav. But according to Or Gedaliah, we have a beautiful mahalach here. He became Esav. Why is this so important for us, just to end on like a takeaway for us, besides it's such a clarification of the whole sugya in this week's parsha, but it's so important for us to understand that a person has a very specific avoda in this world. And again, we all have that awesome potential to use it in the right way. But God forbid, the same thing that could make you into one of the avos could also make you, you know, into the esav. And someone else could end up stealing your avoda because you're not being true to yourself. So we have to look really deeply and ask ourselves, Am I more Beis Shammai? Am I more Beis Hillel? Am I more Yaakov? Am I more Yitzchak? Am I more Esav? Am I more Avraham? Like, what is my chelek in Torah? How can I embrace it? How can I understand it and be real about it all the way through? Tocho kabara, true on the inside and true on the outside. Okay, so it's a big avodah. Eliezer last week was a good example of someone who knew who he was, understood his limitations, embraced it, and became great. But Esav, unfortunately, and again, whether it's Esav's fault, whether it was, you know, whether you blame Yitzchak for not guiding him properly, whatever it is, however you want to say it, and again, we're not so comfortable saying it either way, but it's a scary thought, how a person could have been one of the avos, and in the end became, the, in a certain sense, the root of all of the galus we're still in today. So, we should be zocha to carry out our missions in the world.
Okay,
yeah, what do you want to say?
I guess you could say, instead of, I guess, Esav,